let me ask you a question. How many of you made a choice today? You made some kind of choice. I see you all are all wearing clothes. Praise Jesus. So you made a choice, right? So life is all about choices. It's all about choices. God even made choices. He makes them every day. Adam and Eve made choices. We find that in the garden. It's all about choices. And that's the greatest thing. I was asked one time, what is the greatest thing that I think, the greatest attribute about God? What if I can say one thing that just makes me fall head over heels in love with him, what would I say that would be? And it took me a minute, but my response was that he gave me a choice. You know, we serve a God who is the creator of everything, the heaven, the earth, everything. All right, he could have made us all robots. You could be a robot right here worshiping God exactly the way he tells you to, in exactly the clothes that he wants you to be, but he gave you a choice. So he gives us all choices, and we're seeing choices going on right now. If any of you are on social media, you're seeing some choices coming from some very prominent men of God right now, and probably women who are not actually speaking out about it. One of which, his name is Marty Sampson. I followed him for years. He was one of the original Hillsong United writers and singers, so he's been writing for Hillsong. A lot of the songs that we sing in this church and that most churches in the world sing came from this man's hand. He recently said that he's losing his faith. He's losing his faith. So I think we have a choice problem. We do have a choice problem, but the problem, the choice that we're having a problem with is love. It's love. And it's not love for one another. There is a problem for that. But that's not the choice of love we're going to talk about today. It's the choice that we all have to make to choose to love God. Now see, I'm going to tell some of you right now, some of you, you like him, but you may not love him. So we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. Now, this is not a condemnation message. This is not a message that's, you know, going to make you cry and repent, which if you need to, cry and repent. This is about self-evaluation. This is about who we are in God. You know, my lovely wife, Mashauna, love you. All right, she's sitting up here with me. There was a time with Mashauna that I dated Mashauna. And in this phase, I liked her. I liked her. You know, it's that four-letter word, starts with an L, that doesn't end in of, right? Right? You teenagers, don't. You don't know that word yet. All right? But I liked her. And during this process of liking Mashauna, I'd hang out with her. I remember our first date was to Chinese in Logan, West Virginia. Good old Chinese. That's some good cat that night, I'm here to tell you. I tell you, every time, it never fails. The cat population goes down. Every time. But I'm telling you, the right spices, whew, you can make anything taste good. Anything tastes good. Come on. Y'all laughing because y'all think it too. Every time you're there, you're thinking it. I'm sorry. Forgive me. But no, we would go out, had fun. You know, I'd drop her off. I'd go home. I'd go back to my life. I did a lot of graphics and things for the church I was with at the time, so I would do that, or I like to play Roller Coaster Tycoon on the PC. Some of you younger people don't even know what computer games are anymore. We'd play it on there and go about my day. I'd go to bed. I'd get up the next morning and have breakfast, eat, you know, maybe mow the grass. And then she'd pop back into my mind, I wonder what my son's doing. I give her a call. She might be home. She might not. She's out there living her life too. But see, the thing about it is when you like someone, you're not infatuated with them yet. They're not overtaking you yet. But there was a moment I crossed over to where I loved Mashauna. And see, I remember these moments because it was when you go to bed thinking about her. You wake up thinking about her. You're going down the road and you're getting you some things. We'll say you're clothes shopping and all of a sudden in my mind it hits me that, man, she likes a Dr. Pepper and an ice cold Reese cup. I better get her a Dr. Pepper and an ice cold Reese cup. Why? Because during this phase, you're watching, you're learning the other person. That's what we're doing. That's when you're loving somebody, you're learning to love them. You're watching their mannerisms. See, when you love somebody, you take on their mannerisms. You can finish each other's sentences. But see, I've noticed a lot, and you know, I'm sharing with you a conversation that God and I have been having. Me and God talk. We talk. And we've been talking a little bit, and a lot of people are not having conversations with God. We accept Him. We accept His salvation. But I'm noticing a lot of people, and I'm not saying here, I'm just saying the churches in general, that's the extent of our relationship with God. And people say, you don't know me. You can't judge me. Well, I mean, we'll go with that for a minute. But I can tell by your surroundings. I can tell by Huntington. Huntington. Look at Huntington. There's so many of the worst statistics in this country that come out of Huntington. But yet, you know, in West Virginia, we have one of the highest church per capita for our population ratios that there is. But yet we got some of the worst statistics when it comes to drugs, when it comes to family members in the foster care raising our kids. But that's not what I read in the Bible. Well, doesn't that make you wonder where the problem lies? Because that's not God's will. That's not who He has for us. See, when you're liking somebody, there's an issue going on. There's two brains. You still have your ways. You still have what you like to do. You still have your fun things. And every now and then, the other person pops into your head, and you're like, hey, I want. You go with that person. You hang out a little while, and you're having a real good time. And then all of a sudden, you come back home because there's two different wants there. Matthew 16:24 in the New Living says, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. One version says, if anyone desires to come after me, desires to come after me, you can accept him, but are you following him? Are you learning him? Are you going with him? That's what he wants from us. He wants us to be followers, imitators, doers of everything that he does, learning all about him. I wanted to learn Mashauna in this process. I didn't care about me anymore. I wanted to learn Mashauna. All of a sudden, I got worried about her when I went with her. Ain't nobody better be messing with her. I'll whoop him. I'll come at him. We're going out, and the entire time we're out, I'm sitting here thinking, ain't nobody looking. She mine. Ain't nobody looking. Why? Because all of a sudden she's mine. When you fall in love with somebody, they become yours. You want them. But see, these two natures, these two brains, or these two hearts, these two things that's going on inside your head, they're incompatible. They don't fit together. John 2, 1 John 2, 15 through 17, and I like the Passion Translation. I am a student pastor minister. I love the Passion Translation. It brings it down, but it keeps the integrity. I love it. Don't set your affections of your heart on this world or in loving the things of the world. The love of the Father and the love of the world are incompatible. For all that the world can offer us, the gratification of our flesh, the allurement of the things of the world, and the obsession with the status of importance, none of these things come from the Father, but from the world. This world and its desires are in the process of passing away, but those who love to do the will of God live forever. They live forever. You see, we're dealing with something in our head, and Paul dealt with it real heavy. Paul dealt with it real heavy. For a while, I mean, we read in Romans 7, we'll go ahead and get into this. In Romans 7, 15 through 20, he says, I'm a mystery to myself and I want to do what is right, but I end up doing what my moral instincts condemn. And if my behavior is not in line with my desire, my conscience still confirms the excellence of the law. And now I realize that it's no longer my true self doing it, but the unwelcome intruder of sin in our humanity. For I know that nothing good lives within the flesh of my fallen humanity. The longings to do what is right are within me, but willpower is not enough to accomplish it. My lofty desires to do what is good are dashed when I do the things I want to avoid. So if my behavior contradicts my desires to do good, I must conclude that it's not my true identity doing it, but the unwelcome intruder of sin hindering me from being who I really am. We're going to go at it from missing the mark. That's the natures. That's the locking phase right there. That's what happens when you step back and you never truly embrace God. When you never embrace God, there's this struggle. There's this constant struggle because you know you want to do these things for God. You know you want to look at Him continually, but yet you don't. You turn around and you follow. You follow the longings of that which you want to do, the old man. See, like when I was with Mashauna, when we were in that dating phase, there was times I really wanted to play my games or do those graphics, but then I knew I needed to hang out with her to keep her happy. So I did it out of a to-do list. There's a lot of times when we were dating that I didn't want to do things that we did, but I did them as a to-do list. See, that's what he's talking about here. Going with the to-do list instead of with that which love drives us to do. You know that without loving God, and when this, I promise this is going to come around. Trust me. Without loving God, you know your faith really don't work? I promise. It's here. I'll read it to you. Galatians 5 and 6. I like the Good News translation sometimes too. For when we are in union with Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor the lack of it makes any difference at all. What matters is faith that works through love. Your faith will work through this love relationship you have because you begin to trust the one you love. You trust the one you love. That loving God releases God's love on us. So what does that mean? Deuteronomy 7, 9 says, understand therefore that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands. How do you know his commands? Well, what's the number one way, for those of you in relationships, what is the number one way that your relationship stands? I'm not asking you to give me a response. I'm having you think moment. This is a think moment, right? It's communication. See, what we're seeing, and I've read a lot of those posts of those men who are denying their faith now. And I know Tony has too. Love Tony. It's interesting to watch Tony. He preaching, son. He wearing them out. But I follow them. And I'm reading these comments they're saying, and every complaint they have is about man. It's about man. You know, Marty says, well, this one teaches that, and that one teaching this, and this book says this, and this book says that. Well, I'm sitting here wondering, have you talked to God? Has that ever been a process? Do we do that anymore? We have all these self-doubts and all this selfishness, and we have all this stuff going on. But we're not talking to God. How many of you have ever talked to somebody that when they begin to talk back, you can't look away? I mean, they just grab you. They grab you. I mean, it may be a teacher or somebody like that. That's what happens when you begin to converse with God. When you begin to walk into the deepness with God, is he begins to talk. And he talks in such a way that it's almost like only you can understand it. And it grabs you and it keeps you. So what we're getting at with this is that you don't exist. That's what happens when you cross over into love. When I crossed over into love with Michonne, I had to realize I didn't exist anymore. My worry, my concern, my thought pattern was now on her. It was on her. And then we had kids. It turned around and it stayed on her and then the kids. I didn't exist anymore because I wanted to make sure. I wanted to make sure that they existed. Because if they were happy, it made me happy. I think it's Brother Hagin. He tells a story in one of the books I read. And I'm probably going to butcher this, but we're going to go with it. It's a real simple story. They were having a hard time. This is when they first got together. And I think he was pastoring one of his early churches. And you all have probably heard this story the correct way, which is why I'm hesitating. I think he got down to one egg and one piece of toast is what they had left. They were hitting some hard times in his early years. And he was talking in one of these books, how he was talking about love. And he said what the normal relationship will do is they'll split it. He said, but what love does is he gave away the whole egg and the whole piece of toast. Because when you love somebody, they're more important than you. If we had one egg and a piece of toast, I want to make sure she has it because she's all I think about. Right? And that's what it should be with God. You don't exist. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ in me. The life now I live in the body, I live in the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This world is the way it is because we're not living the way we're supposed to be. We don't talk to God anymore. I've talked to people before recently, and I'm like, and they're telling me all these struggles and problems, and not necessarily here. They're telling me all this stuff and what they're believing and all this. And I'm like, I looked at one of them, and I said, well, when's the last time you talked to God? And when somebody gave me a response one time and said, well, I've been praying. Well, what's been your prayer? I've been believing for this. I was like, okay, that's all good. But when's the last time you talked to God? When's the last time you sat down with God and just had a conversation? You see, it's in the lacking place that the only time you talk to him is when you want something. And that's where a lot of us are. And for those prayers, A.W. Tozer calls those fire escape prayers, by the way. Your fire escape's only used when it's needed. They're not staircase prayers that you're using every day. But real love, it's a sacrifice. See, God showed how much he loved us by sending his only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. See, he gave us his all, but we only give him 3 hours a week. Hour and a half on Sunday, hour and a half on Wednesday. And we go about our lives. I'm not trying to beat you up, but I want to show you the depth of what a relationship in love can do. It can do something for you. Why do we talk about all this? Well, we gotta go back. We're going to go back. In creation, we all know the story. In creation, God created Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve's job was to walk and talk with God. It was to worship him. That's why they were created. All right? Adam and Eve made a choice. Even the very first creation had choices to make. They made a choice. And through their choice, 2,000 years later, Jesus had to make a choice. And the problem with crossing over into the love phase, as we're going to call it, in our relationship with God, is it's not easy. It's not easy. Why is it not easy? Well, we can look how Jesus did. See, Jesus had to experience something in the natural that we have to experience in the spiritual. We find it in Gethsemane. Gethsemane means oil press. Okay? We find it in Gethsemane that Jesus had to go in there and he prayed. And in Luke's account, he prayed so hard that it was as drops of blood hitting the ground, is what Luke says. What does that mean? That means that the separation, you know, an oil press, history lesson, was used. They would throw the oil, they would throw the olives between two big stones, and some men or donkeys or whatever would rotate the top stone. And what it would do is it would separate the oil. There was grooves in the bottom stone, and as it worked and done its work, the flesh was separated from the oil. So the spirit was separated from the flesh. That is how we fall in love with God. Because until we can separate our flesh from our spirit, until we can get into Gethsemane, until we throw ourselves on the oil press, we still have two natures. And we know what Paul said back in Romans, what that happens. You're going crazy in your head. You can't figure nothing out. You can't figure out why things ain't working. You're going crazy. So what he experienced in the natural, we had to experience in the spiritual. So we have to keep renewing our mind. Romans 12:2 tells us we have to keep renewing our mind. We have to take our attention off of this world and keep renewing our mind. Why? How do we do that? We do that through prayer and study. Look, study is learning the ways. Prayer is communication. We study. When we study God's word, when we study, we're walking with. But when we pray to him, we're talking with. We're right back there. And that's when we're going to begin to see all these things open up from God. The blessings of God begin to flow. We're trying to be part of a relationship, and we're trying to get benefits out of a relationship when we're not giving anything in, but we're expecting everything out. And I'm saying all this, again, not to beat us up. This isn't a heaven or hell message. This ain't what this is about. This is about how deep do we want to go with God. This is about what are we wanting to see. Because when you start doing this, when you start really falling in love with God, your existence disappears. And then you begin to take on the nature of God. Well, what is the nature of God? The nature of God is others. His very nature of coming down here, going to the cross, was for others. It wasn't for him. Jesus could have came off the cross. He could have done that. But he chose not to. He made a choice. Another choice. The Son of God made choices. He was given different avenues to walk down, but he made choices. And by doing that, he gave us access to something that is so great. Ephesians tells us that now through what he'd done, we're seated in him, with him, in heavenly places. We've been given power, And we don't really realize it. But then when people do kind of get a hold of that message, then they turn it around and make it about them. And we're back to that whole place again, to where all of a sudden you exist again in your mind. And that ain't where he wants us. He wants us on him, on him. Matthew 6:33 tells us that if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he'll take care of all these things. Right now, this is a chapter, if you go back and you read, this is a chapter where he's talking about physical things. He's talking about things like bills, clothes. I'll tell you a little story. I got on Matthew 6:33 one time real heavy. I was challenged by an older lady in the church that every day when I had a moment in my mind, a blank moment, to quote Matthew 6:33. She said, just start quoting it and see what happens. She said, just start quoting it. So there for a while, I didn't really see anything. She'd come up to me, she'd say, are you quoting it? I'm like, yeah, I'm quoting it. I don't get it, but I'm quoting it. So I kept going. I kept quoting it day in, day out, day in, day out. And then one day I opened the mail and there's the deed to my car. And I still owed money. And there's a little note. And this person said in that note, basically in a nutshell, it was a little longer note, they said, I just feel God telling me that to give you the car, right? Now, we're getting ready to go into a three-month span of my life. It wasn't long after that that a woman walked up to me and said, I want to pay for your car insurance for a year. She paid for my car insurance for a year. All right. Now, at that time, I was a little smaller. I had a little bit more fashion sense. It's hard when you have this many exes that you can find clothes that look nice, so you deal with what you get, all right? No pictures, please. But at that time, I like to think I was a little snazzy. I don't know if that's the right word. I'm trying to become more culturally relevant for the students of this church, just so you know. Well, I mean, I had good clothes. I went shopping a lot. In fact, probably too much. And this woman walked up to me, and she said, I like the way you dress. She said, I want to take you and get you some clothes. Filled my closet with clothes. I lived in Danville. I drove the church in Man. All right, so for those of you who don't know, that's probably, well, I'm not going to tell you how long it took me to get there, but it's usually about an hour and 10 minutes. I didn't have a job. I was a college student, right? I had no money, and I was one of those college students that may have been a college student for a little while, so mom and dad were like, hey, we're going to have to cut this off. So they didn't give me a lot neither, so I had this little, it was a little brown ceramic jar. You remember those cheese jars you would get for Christmas that had cheese and sausages and everything in it? So I had that little jar, and I called it my quarter jar. I wouldn't let nobody put nothing in it but quarters. I didn't want that little stuff. I wanted the big stuff. I wanted the quarters. So I remember I would always go to this jar, and I'd pull out 10 to 20 bucks out of this jar of quarters, and it just kept overflowing. I was picking them up off the floor, and wasn't nobody putting them in because my mom and dad wasn't putting them back in. They done told me they wasn't. I was done with them. They were done with me. They said, we're cutting you off. But it just kept overflowing. Here's one I love. Man, God, it's just, I walked into my car one time and I had drove it to E. It was on E. And trust me, I put it there. It was on E. I literally sat there one day just staring at it. And I looked at that gas gauge and I just said Matthew 6:33. I just quoted it. And I promise you, y'all gonna think I'm crazy. I promise you, I watched it go from E to F. And it was real, too, because I drove it back to E. It was, like, legit. Like, it happened, okay? Why? Do you know what happened through all this phase in my life? Do you know what brought all this about? Was it because I was able to quote 18,000 different scriptures? No, but you should be. Was it because that I had been sitting in the heavenlies with God caught up? No. It was because my attention was on him. That's what he wants from us. When your attention is on him, he's got you. He said it, Matthew 6:33, I've got you. I realize there's bills. I realize there's needs. That's okay. I'm God. I can do it. All I need from you is just attention. Anyway, I went about my normal day. I went about my college life. I was studying for one or two of my classes, maybe. You know, I was dating Mashauna, maybe. Yeah, we'll go with that. You know, I had my life, but what the difference was, at any moment I had loose, it almost became a habit in my mind that I was like, you know what? I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things are going to be added unto me. What that done is that put my attention on him and off of me. I started to decrease. He started to increase. Y'all know that scripture? One version says you're to diminish, which means go to zero, to nothing. That's the point of God. So I want to end with this. The oil press is a tough place. It's a tough place. And it's a choice. That's what makes it tough. That's what makes it tough. You have to choose to put yourself in the position to do away with all that you want to be and all that you are. It's a hard place. Why? Because it hurts. It hurts. If you can't swim, Jaden Huffman can't swim. We're going to go with this right now. He can't swim. All right? I'm going to put him on a boat, and I'm going to go 10 miles out into the Atlantic, I think it's on Air Coast. I don't know. I'm a preacher. I'm not in geology. Leave me alone. Geology. See what I mean? All right? I put him on a boat. I'm going out 10 miles, right? I'm going out 10 miles. I drop him, and I leave. But he can't swim. But what is he going to do? I can promise you he's going to kick those feet like he's never kicked those feet before in his life. He's going to swim. He's going to do everything he can to try to swim. Why? Because it's programmed into us to survive. Over time, culture, everything has told us you need to survive. You need to live. That's why the oil press hurts. It's because the entire time you've thrown yourself under and you say, God, I want done with me. No longer I who live, but you that live in me. That's what I want, God. The entire time you're saying that, your flesh, that nature that is saying that, you need to do this. Oh, you can have fun doing this. Oh, you can still serve God and do this. That nature is kicking and screaming. It's wanting to live. So what happens to a lot of us, and it's happened to me before, is you get up. You don't let it finish. You get up. But see, there's this nature. There's this thing God wants to do for us. And I'm saying all this because He wants us walking. He wants us walking in a better life. We recently, as a staff here, we evaluated Huntington in our minds, and not just Huntington, and things that just frustrated us. I'm not going to get into all that, I promise. But we're looking around. I'm looking around, and this is a conversation God and I have been having first. I want you to know this. God and I have been having this discussion first, okay? I've been getting very frustrated. I'm going to just be a little transparent with you. I've been getting very frustrated because Huntington is my city, okay? And I'm watching on the news, and I'm watching all this stuff go down, all this stuff that's bad happening, all the statistics, okay? I'm watching it all, and it's just getting worse, and it's just getting worse. And it's just getting worse. And I'm watching it. And I'm watching it. And I'm sitting here thinking, there is some stuff in here. There is some stuff in here that can fix every bit of that. But why isn't it doing it? Why is it not doing it? Because I realize that this stuff takes me. It takes me. It takes us. Because when you get your eyes focused on Jesus, when you get your eyes focused on Him, you take on His nature. Remember this. What is His nature? His nature is others. It's others. It's others. You're going to find that the closer you get to Jesus when you're walking down the streets and you run up to that homeless man, you're no longer going to do this. You know what you're going to probably start doing is you're probably going to start slowing down the closer you get to Jesus because you finally realize, I got something. I got something that can help this person. There's something in me that can help this person. So eventually, you know, this is a process. Eventually, as you're walking by the homeless person, you won't just slow down, you're going to stop. You're going to stop. And then the nature of God is going to come out of you. Deep will cry to deep. They'll respond to everything you have to say. Why? Because it's programmed into them to hear the voice of God. They can hear the voice of God. It's programmed in them from creation. When God breathed into man, when He breathed into man, He put His spirit into him. So when that spirit gets in, just like with Mary carrying Jesus and Elizabeth, I think carrying John the Baptist, just like when they got into each other's presence, what happened? He leaped. We find that with Peter, Peter drew close to God. He took on God's nature. So what happened to Peter? We find that as Peter walked down the road, people just wanted to get in his shadow. Why? Because there's something about the nature of God that takes all the load off of you but puts it on him, which is what he wants. That's what he wants. He needs to be God again. We're not letting him be God because he also needs to go through us. He needs to go through us. So I'm saying all this again. It's not to beat you up, but we have got to begin to realize we can do something not only about our area, but about this country and this world we're living in. We've got the goods. We've got it. All right? We've got it. But what are we going to do with it? Well, until we take on the nature of God, we don't even have the direction. Why? Because until you take on the nature of God, you're not even talking to him. Yeah, I went through a phase recently. I told you I was closing. I guess it is that joke. I get four of them. I was going through a phase recently. I told you transparency. I got busy. Got real busy. Got busy doing things for God. You know, we decided to, my wife's 8 months pregnant. We're going to move. Yeah, that was smart. So we decided to move, right? With a 2.5-year-old moving, 8 months pregnant. Took this job as a student pastor. Then the next kid decides he wants to come 3 weeks early, right in the middle of the move and the remodel. I got busy. And this is where this conversation spurred out of. God and I have had this conversation two other times in my life. And he reminded me that I wasn't talking to him like I should be talking to him. And that it was in the lack of conversation, the lack of communication with God, it was in that lack that my frustrations were being birthed. That my anxiety, I used to be pretty bad with anxiety. Up to last year, I was on 2 medications just for anxiety. It was pretty bad. There was times when Mashauna would just sit on the couch as I was curled up in a ball crying because there's nothing you can do. But, you know, during that moment of my life, I was in that place of Romans 7 where I was trying to keep a hold of what I thought, the things I wanted to do, who I thought I should be, what I should do. I was trying to keep a hold of that, but at the same time, I was trying to love on Jesus, but only when it was convenient, only when it fit the schedule, only when it fit the plan. And in that process, you get this, as Paul's talking about, it's this crazy war. You ever seen those videos? Have you got the pictures? You got the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other? That's the epitome of Romans 7, except you're both. It's just going crazy. But you know, her love for me, and this is kind of like love from God, her love for me is during all of this, we had a 2-year-old, well, almost a 2-year-old during this phase. We had a house. She was wonderful at who she was, but she stopped and sat with me. Didn't say anything, didn't do anything. Why? Because in that moment, she just wanted me to know that she was there. That she was there. That's love. And God does that. I would tell you that he stops what he's doing, but God is everything, and he does for you, and he sits down, and he listens, and then he speaks. But it's through the lack of communication that we're seeing all these problems. If me and Mashauna never talk, there's been seasons we didn't talk much. We both were busy, real busy. And in those seasons, our relationship suffered a little. Why? Because communication's everything. Communication's everything. So it's in this moment that we have to remember first God's love for us. God's love for us. And I can spell it out for you in 3 pictures. Now this is the official end. I promise. This is the official end. I'm going to spell it out in 3 pictures. 3 pictures I want to show you God's love. Here's the first one. That's the first picture of God's love. He made a choice. People think he was thrown on it. No, he wasn't thrown down on it. He chose. Then there was the second picture. He made a choice to pick up the cross. And there's a scripture that goes with this that we're supposed to do. is to pick up our cross daily. Why? To put down who we are. To put down who we are so we can take on God's plan. And then the third picture, the third way, God's love. You see, I told you what he experienced in the natural is what we have to experience in the spiritual. That's why Paul says, daily I take up my cross. It's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I'm to be crucified with Christ, not I who live. So what he experienced in the natural, we have to experience in the spiritual so that we can become one with God. And then when it's complete, then we can walk out of Ephesians when it says that we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Then we have the access right there.